The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Nebraska Congressman Jeff Fortenberry just learned he will not have to serve time in prison after being convicted of lying to federal authorities. He will, however, have to pay a $25,000 fine and be on probation for 2 years. This all comes on the same exact day a special election, coincidentally, is being held to replace him.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, well, thanks for joining me. It's good to be here with you today. Say a prayer for Congressman Fortenberry. I invited him to the show. I understand why today he probably doesn't want to. He had a rough day yesterday. Wasn't sure whether he'd leave the courthouse in a pair of handcuffs or not. You just heard that piece of audio. I'll fill you in on his story. We'll get him on the air in the future. But this is a man who was accused of supposedly taking, you know, some money. I don't believe it as far as some campaign money. Again, if you hear the story, and we'll talk to him about it, say a prayer for him. He is Trey Gowdy was his attorney who defended him, and everybody, even government witnesses, spoke to the man's character and spoke to his honesty. He was educated at Franciscan University. He was a roommate of a former producer of mine. So I know this personal connection. He's been on the air a ton of times. You've heard Congressman Fortenberry here over the years. He's a devout Catholic. He's well-formed. And I really believe that this guy was, I think there was an injustice here. So life's not easy. We all carry crosses. There are false allegations many people undergo. There's a lot of innocent people today in jail. Let's pray for those injustices, that God's mercy can prevail, that truth can come to the fore. When I heard about his story, I said, you know something? It reminds me of Cardinal Pell. Remember him, the cardinal who was arrested and did time in an Australian prison, right? I think the same thing with Fortenberry. Fortenberry's not going to do time, but he's got probation and a fine. But truth will come to the surface. It will. It always does. You know, truth can't be hidden. And in the end, I think he will one day be vindicated for this. But I would ask you, even just a small Hail Mary and Our Father for those who are falsely accused of crimes, of behaviors, of whatever it might be, that the truth can come to the surface, that these people, that justice can prevail, that through mercy, justice can prevail. And I think that's the case. We will talk to Congressman Fortenberry in the days ahead. But what I do want to talk about is Congress. I do want to talk about what's next. And I do want to talk to you about some things that are happening that I think are very telling now that we are in what I like to say is a post-Roe world, right? The Supreme Court Dobbs ruling, that's momentous. A decision that overturned Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And another case that's not being mentioned, Roe's Companion, that was Doe v. Bolton, which was actually the basis for allowing abortions to be performed up to birth. Can you believe that? All three of those are gone. They're gone. You know, most people who are commenting on this are saying, the issue is now being returned to the states. And yeah, that's true. I've said it too. But let's zoom out a little wider. Let's talk a little bit more about this. Tennessee just won a major case in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals when the entire court there, it ruled unanimously that Tennessee, that the voluntary state heartbeat law can go into effect along with a law against aborting a child because of the child's race, sex, or condition of Down syndrome. You know how many children are being aborted because they're being tested, mothers are being tested, and the child might be born with Down syndrome? Through the roof. There are all kinds of other laws, both pro-life and pro-abortion going into effect in states all across the country. But there's one other body that can act. And this is what I want to talk about. And I think this is really critical as we got midterms coming up and we have general elections right around the corner. The way a great nation works, there's another body that can act on the cause of life, and that's Congress. And when the Supreme Court issued its ruling in 1973, in that Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton decision, it essentially tied the hands of both state legislatures and Congress. So they were powerless. The only thing Congress could do was restrict the funding, right? The purse strings, the funding of abortion. The revision of the court issued, they made this revision in the Casey case, which allowed states to put some regulations on abortion, but only as long as they weren't too burdensome, and whatever that meant. You know, you, who defines what's too burdensome? But with Dobbs, and that's why, you know, there's even talk, I had a conversation with somebody this morning, should the March for Life continue in January when it's cold and brutal and commemorating Roe v. Wade, or should we move it? Should we move it to, you know, June 24th, and celebrate that day? We can talk about that at some point in time, the end of Roe, the end of Dobbs, the Dobbs decision, I should say. But who knows? We'll see what happens. But what happens now is that Congress is free to act, and there are 17 pro-life groups, including the nation's bishops, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. They've written a letter to Representative Kevin McCarthy and also to Stephen Scalise. And they've asked them to do something which I think is I think it's brilliant. They want them to introduce legislation next year that would protect the unborn after a heartbeat can be detected. And that is normally, you know, give or take, probably around 6 weeks. And they're going to ask that funding for the protection of unborn human life be started and funded for groups, you know, like Planned Parenthood be ended. They don't want that. Why should we fund? I think Planned Parenthood gets over $500 million. I think they get $530 million a year. So they're going to ask that funding for groups like Planned Parenthood be ended and that funding for the protection of the unborn be started. I think we should move that, right? Take it from one end of the spectrum to the other. Let's take it off the scales of death, put it on the scale of life. I say bravo to them. I'm joined right now by Noah Weinrich. He's Communication Director of the Heritage Action for America, which spearheaded the writing of this letter. And I've invited them to stop by just to give us a perspective on what they're hoping to achieve and how likely it will become reality. You can learn more at heritageaction.org if you want to find a little bit more about this. Noah, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm well. It's good to have you here with me today. I love this idea. I think it's brilliant. Right now, the polls are showing that Republicans are going to take back both House and the Senate. So we knew that. I really think it's going to be a bloodbath. But we still have, you know, 4 months between now and Election Day, and a lot can happen. That's an eternity in the world of politics. So before we talk about what's being proposed, let me just get your sense of the temperature of the country. Are you expecting polls to remain the same as they are right now? I don't know what we've learned from Illinois or New York or some of the places that had elections yesterday for their primaries. What do you see coming?
I think things are going to get even worse for the left the sooner we get to November. They're already at historic lows. President Biden's approval rating, his net approval rating, according to Real Clear Politics, I looked this morning, he is down 19 points.
Oh my gosh.
That's about 38 approval, 57 disapproval. President Trump at this point was down about 8 points, and he continued to come back up. So, and the trajectory is the opposite. You know, President Trump was rising at this point in his presidency. Biden continues to drop. He hasn't really improved since he started. So that spells doom. That's why, you know, Democrats are running away from Biden. They don't want to be tied to him. Inflation continues to get worse, brought on by many congressional Democrats spending, and the inflation, abortion issue is not the issue they think it is. They believe that it's going to somehow reverse the tide of political opinion before November, but that's really not true. What we see in the polling is the energy on abortion may be slightly favoring the left, you know, they're, because frankly they are losing, and so they may be more energized about it, but it is a backseat issue to issues like inflation, issues like how the government is run, immigration, et cetera. Everything else means that conservatives are going to win in November.
Yeah, I agree. I sense that. I don't think there's that passion there. I mean, I know the Democrats and the left in particular have nothing really strong to point to or to turn to stand on. So Roe v. Wade, the fall of that, boy, they think, hey, maybe that's something that will motivate our base and get some votes. But I'm with you. I don't think that's the case. So let's assume things stay as they are. Republicans take over Congress. Do you think there's going to be enough in both houses to override what would be an expected veto from President Biden if a heartbeat bill, you know, a national heartbeat bill was presented?
That's a good question. I don't imagine that you would get that because you would need 2/3 of the Senate. So you basically need 1/3 of Democrats to vote with Republicans, unfortunately. And outside of Joe Manchin, unfortunately, there's not a single Democrat in the Senate. who's willing to stand up for life.
Terrible.
However, I think that, you know, this is the term. Well, first of all, you should send it to Biden's desk, make him sign it or make him veto it. Show how radical he is. Show that his, you know, his past pro-life stance has been thrown in the gutter. But second, you know, these kinds of terms are, you know, when you have a Democrat in the White House, Republicans in Congress, that's, you may not get much signed, but you can get a lot passed and prepare for the next session, right? Prepare for a Republican president, get those bills lined up, get the votes lined up so that you can hit the ground running January of 2025 and show that, you know, frankly, show your voters that you're serious, that you're not just going to get in there and flail around or, you know, just do messaging bills, but really be serious, have a policy agenda, get ready for the next term. And so that's where I think the value is. You need to get that inertia early for pro-life causes so that it doesn't falter or take a back seat when there's control of the White House again.
It's such a good point, and I could not agree with you more. That's why it's so. That's why every election is just so critical, and so are well-formed individuals. We need to put into office men and women who respect life and will advance the common good. You know, states like New York and California are also, they would hate this heartbeat bill being passed by Congress since they're guaranteeing right now, you know, a right to abortion up to birth. These are definitely cauldrons of death. And there are some other states who wanted to go beyond birth. I had talked about, I think it was Maryland and maybe even it was California, but somebody clarified the California point. That changed. Who wanted to abort a child up to, I think it was 28 days after birth, almost 4 weeks. It was crazy. What kind of strategies will these pro-death states come up with if those proposals, you know, were to become law? Let's say, let's say, God willing, you know, that heartbeat bill passes nationally. How do you think that's going to play out?
That's a great question. You know, they're going to do what they always do. It's sue, try to block it. You know, they're going to call Congress illegitimate, call the court illegitimate. They're going to try to do, you know, frankly, illegal acts. They're going to try to get around it. You know, they are already setting up a network of abortion activists ready to break the law and commit illegal abortions nationwide. And so, you know, what states like California and New York could do and what some of them are already trying to do is declare themselves abortion sanctuaries. You know, you're already seeing cities in Texas do this, saying we are not going to prosecute abortions, even though that's the law. They're admitting they're going to break the law. And so California and New York could say that they are going to become abortion sanctuaries. They're not going to prosecute anyone for violating that law, which is, of course, just a slap in the face to the rule of law. And so you would need a federal government that is willing, that has the political will to have that showdown with those governors to enforce the law through, you know, whatever means necessary to make sure that the rule of law is upheld and that unborn children's lives are protected. It's, you know, it's a serious matter. And so it's going to take the right people in Congress and the right people in the White House to do it.
Yeah, and I often think, I mean, look, we just entered a new and very exciting chapter in American history when it comes to the fight for life. If Congress, you know, let's say it passed these proposals, let's say maybe it happened now, maybe you found the Democrats to do it, maybe, you know, at some point in the future of a pro-life, you know, House and Senate and you know, a president, and this becomes law, could they be overturned by later Congresses? And of course, they probably could. So what about a human life amendment? Any possibility of something like that coming to the country? It's probably too early for that, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this should be an any or all of the above kind of strategy. You know, states should be passing laws. Congress should be passing laws, amendments. You know, the White House, like we said, should be cutting off funding streams when we have a Republican president. Any or all of the above. You're totally right that, you know, future Congresses could change the law, and that's one of the big, big fights we're going to have to fight and we're going to have to play out. But, you know, having a law for a number of terms is better than no law at all, of course. But like you said, an amendment would be one of the best ways to go forward and protect life. That is much harder to overcome, but of course, it's also harder to institute. One of the other theories being talked about is through the courts, you know, interpreting the 14th Amendment as applying to unborn children. That's sort of a newer vein of argument. It's hasn't been tested yet, but there's a lot of creative strategies out there, and I say we should go for all of them.
Amen to that. I only have a few minutes. I'm curious as to your take on Planned Parenthood. I've always grappled with the fact that they get $530 million, half a billion dollars worth of money to fund this. They claim abortion services are only, what, 3% of what they do. So it'll be very interesting to see how they're affected by that. If federal funding restrictions pass, Planned Parenthood isn't going to go down without a fight. The Attorney General right now, General Merrick Garland, what do you think he would do? I'm assuming he would defend the law in the courts, or wouldn't he? I mean, what do you think this guy would do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know if there's much Planned Parenthood could do if Congress actually passes a law. Obviously, they would fight it in courts. That's a good question if Garland would defend it. I would hope so. You know, I want to be charitable and assume that he would uphold the rule of law. But especially when it's a clear-cut issue, I don't know if I have that confidence in the administration against abortions. And it struck me that, you know, for years we've heard Planned Parenthood saying, oh, abortions are only 3% of our budget, or it's 1% of our services. Most of what we do is provide women's health care. So now that states are taking that 3% off the table, they're not providing the 97%, what they call women's health care services that they call so important. They're packing up and leaving. They're abandoning the state, which shows what the game was about all along. It was all along only about abortion. Now that they can't do that, they're done. They're leaving. They're not going to stick around and provide health care. They're not going to give money to crisis pregnancy centers. That's exactly why we have to cut them out of any funding streams, because even if it goes towards, you know, good things like prenatal health care, it's really just going towards abortions at the end of the day.
Yeah, you know, I was talking a little bit earlier about national parks being places of, you know, using federal funds for abortion. What do you see happening? I mean, there's a lot being thrown on the table right now, and I don't know what your thoughts are on, you know, Becerra, the head of the HHS, and claiming that the administration is going to consider, you know, using federal land for abortions. I think pro-lifers should be out there in earnest if that's the case, but how likely is something like that, and how far do you think they're going to go?
You know, I don't think it's likely at this point. I think if it were going to happen, they would have already, you know, had plans and announced it. Because of the leaked decision, we knew this was coming for months. I don't think they would go that far, but again, trying to be charitable. So I don't know. You know, with this administration, who knows? They're like an animal trapped in a corner. You don't know what they're going to do. Who knows? I hope not. I don't think they will. But they've talked about military bases. They've talked about using national parks. I pray that they don't, and I pray that if they try, that we're able to stop them through the courts.
I'm with you on that. Now, let me grab one quick call for you here, as I know we only got a minute or two left. Todd is listening to us, I think, in Kentucky. Todd, hi. Yes. You're on the air with Noah. Go right ahead.
Hi, Drew. So the mayor of Louisville has his attorneys representing the city looking at ways that they can break the law. Kentucky passed a law. The General Assembly passed a law last session that it prevents abortion in Kentucky. Abortion at this point is illegal in Kentucky. So he's trying to find ways to get around that by breaking the law. In November on our ballot is an amendment to the Constitution that essentially takes that law and makes it part of the Constitution, that there is no right to abortion in the state of Kentucky.
Well, that's great. I hope that passes then. Your thoughts for him, Noah?
Yeah, I hope that the state is able to enforce its law and that it has the political will. You know, unfortunately, I know y'all have Governor Beshear, a Democrat, so I don't know if he's going to have the strength to enforce the law. I hope he will, but if not, then hopefully it is resolved through the courts. I think you're going to see this kind of thing all over the country, and I hope it's quickly put down and that the rule of law is respected. This is why elections matter. This is why, governor's races, local mayor's races, ballot initiative, it all matters. It all, plays into this debate, and it all can save lives or it can take lives. And so, hopefully everyone has their eye on November. Everyone is, getting out, getting active, talking to your friends about those initiatives, those votes, This is a critical time in the fight for life.
Amen to that. Well, hey, Noah, thank you for all that you do. Appreciate your efforts. We're on the winning side of this issue. We're on the winning side of history. We're on the right side of history. And it's one day at a time. Big victory on June 24th. A lot of other victories yet to come. People want to catch up with the efforts that you're involved with. What's the best way to connect?
Sure thing. Just go to heritageaction.com. That's heritageaction.com.
Appreciate your time today. We'll do it again. Okay, Noah, thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That's Noah Weinrich. And again, check them out, heritageaction.org. And say a prayer for this. I love the idea. Love the idea that the USCCB, along with 17 other pro-life groups, have solicited representatives like Kevin McCarthy and Scalise to introduce legislation next year that would protect the unborn if a heartbeat was protected. Let's pray. We'll see more of this. Your vote matters. You know, I'm telling you, that who you put into Congress makes a huge difference. Who you put into the executive branch makes a huge difference. So, you know, make sure that when you vote in these midterms, when you vote in the general, you know, you do it with a moral heart. You know, you do it with a well-formed conscience that you pray, and you do it for the right reasons. All right, I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk much more. You know, I've shared with you in the past the story of St. Thomas Aquinas appearing to a Yugoslavian abortionist. It's a powerful story of conversion. And since we're talking post-Roe, there have been so many of these stories, right? So many of them. I've often shared the story of Dr. Leventino. I shared the story of Dr. John Burkowski. In fact, when we come back, if you haven't heard some of these stories, you want a little bit of inspiration, you want to see how God's grace is at work, you want to see how that prayer I'm asking you to engage in brings about conversion of even the hardest of hearts, you'll love the story I'm going to share with you. Stay with me. I'll be back with more.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. It's the truth and nothing but the truth.
And nothing but the truth.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters, flexible premium life insurance. You know, for less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
In Louisiana, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, black, or white, we fight for life.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, you know who that was? That was Katrina Jackson. She's a Democratic member of the Louisiana House of Representatives. And what a witness and proof that, well, people from all political backgrounds can hold pro-life views. You know, I'm just so glad to be here with you today. I'm going to get you caught up on all things life today. And in fact, you're going to love the next story. You know, in a little bit, I'll share with you an amazing story also of a man who was an abortionist over in he was a communist, and he had performed something like 48,000 abortions, sometimes up to 35 per day. One of the most prolific abortionists in Serbia. Yet God reached out to him. He had an incredible experience in which a saint began to appear to him and brought about his conversion. I'll share that story coming up. But, you know, I've spoken to others over the years, and we just got done praying the chaplet. And again, I cannot underline how great God's mercy is. Our sin, the greatest sin, is but a drop in the ocean of his mercy. It is but a drop. And I know you might have been involved in the industry. You might have worked in it. You may have committed an abortion. You might have paid for it. You might have been complicit in it. I want you to know God loves you. He wants to forgive you. You just have to turn to him. You know, the doctors who are involved in this industry, I know sometimes it might be hard to pray for, right? You think, how can anybody in that industry do this? But God loves them as much as he loves you. And it does not mean they're beyond the reach of God's mercy. Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who committed, it was untold thousands of abortions, yet when he saw an ultrasound of what he was doing, it changed his heart. It convicted him. He became one of the most outspoken pro-life advocates I think the nation has ever seen. He also, by the way, is a convert. He converted to the Catholic faith. I've had the great privilege of talking to Dr. Anthony Leventino many times.
He, too, committed thousands of abortions. And yet today he is committed to exposing abortion for really what it is. These men accepted God's mercy. And now they're wonderful pro-life witnesses. And I'm joined by another man today who walked in their shoes. Dr. John Burkowski's conversion is amazing. It was so thorough that not only does he not do abortions anymore, but he has a whole pro-life practice going on, and he takes care of women who can't pay for it. He also cares for the poor. And he just delivered, I think, a baby. He was close whether we're going to get him on the air today or not, but he's there delivering children. Now, he's the founder of Tepeyac Family Center in Fairfax, Virginia. But check out this website. It's DivineMercyCare.org, DivineMercyCare.org, Divine Mercy Care. That supports the effort, and you can get behind him and learn a little bit more. Doctor, always good to talk with you. Welcome to the program.
Oh, Drew, thank you for having me, buddy.
You got an amazing story.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you up front just for the courage and for the witness, you know, to come out and say, hey, what I did here, but God's grace is greater. You were raised in a good Catholic family, if I remember your story. And then you went to a Catholic college. Tell us what happened. Tell us your story.
You know, it's really, I was thinking about it this morning. You know, the reading from today's Mass was about the guys, the buddies that lowered the cripple through the ceiling of Christ. And I'm convinced that we're all family and that we're all kind of responsible for helping each other come to find the gaze of the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, yeah, it was amazing. Great family. Prayerful, Polish, rosary, altar boy. And then you get to college, and all of a sudden there's relativism, and then there's you know, comparative religions rather than the faith or apologetics. And you begin to move from a love affair to an intellectual endeavor, and then mercy becomes cheap, and grace becomes even cheaper, and you buy into the proportionalism. I'm 59, Drew, and so, you know, I grew up in a time where, you know, colleges were teaching, or they as they still do, relativism and proportionalism, and it's your conscience. You can do whatever your conscience says. Yep. And I bought into the argument that abortion was reproductive health care, and wanting to be a doctor, I bought into it, so I wanted to be the best I could be, liberate women from the chains of their fertility, quote-unquote. And that means abortion, contraception, in vitro fertilization, build embryos, get rid of embryos, freeze them. And so my whole world revolved around, you know, going through residency in medical school, believing that you can murder and get rid of unwanted life. And you should do it routinely because it's good for the mom, good for society, good for government, good for whatever. And once again, through the church eventually, but through a really good Assembly of God church that were just living their faith at a pregnancy center in Virginia Beach, Virginia, my mother and father's never, ever, ever giving up on me through prayer, meaning even when I was doing this crap, this bad stuff, they kept praying for me, interceding to both the Sacred and Immaculate Heart for me. And all of a sudden, you meet the healing, transformative power of Jesus Christ, his forgiveness and merciful love. Just like today, just like today's gospel, your sins are forgiven. So that first confession that I had after coming to my senses, it's hard to even describe today of how wonderful, how freeing that was. Yeah. And once you realize that his merciful love, once you confess, he doesn't even remember that stuff.
Yeah.
He is truly that daddy, that father that just welcomes us home. And
beautiful thought.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally both my heart, the sin of my heart. Lord, I am a sinner. Please get behind me because I'm not worthy of this. No, Johnny. I want to hug you, and I want you to. I want to show you that my love transforms the practice of medicine, and you can have a healthy heart and a healthy mind because it's good medicine. Faith and reason, grace and nature. They don't They don't fight each other. And so thank God my mother, you know.
Yep. So your mom
took me on a pilgrim.
She takes you to Guadalupe, right? To Mexico.
A friend of mine encourages me to go to Guadalupe.
Yeah.
And this is at the end of my medical school. And while visiting the Tilma, you know, yeah. I grew up in a family where we loved Our Lady. But by this point, I was kind of far away from the family aspect of the faith. And but while I was there, I was just gazing on the Tilma, and I heard something that said, or someone actually, who said, "Why are you hurting me?"
You actually heard a voice.
And,
you heard a woman's voice.
Yes. 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 Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you that it was discernible. It was definitely piercing. But my heart was becoming hardened, Drew. You slowly move from one to the other, to the other, to the other. And it's like a slowly frog boiling in water. Mm-hmm. I then went on to my residency. After hearing that and after ignoring it, I went to my residency where I wanted to be the best abortionist, the best in vitro, the best contraceptive doctor I could be. And I didn't care about marriages or relationships. You know, you could do whatever you wanted. I was just there as a technician to help you become happy. And then my mother and father continued to pray, and then my mother invited me to Medjugorje. And I went, and the second part of that, the second shoe dropped. And I came off the hill there, went to confession, and all of a sudden my eyes were opened to the forgiveness and merciful love of Jesus Christ, period, end of discussion.
Wow.
And once you're filled with that love, I cry now because not out of guilt anymore, but just out of the sadness that I don't love him as much as he loves us. And because he loved me first, I can love him and I can love my neighbors. And that's what medicine is. And so anybody who's out there in the audience, just like this wonderful station you work for, Drew, and your program, constantly feeding families and individuals out there. If there are docs or nurses or nurse practitioners or PAs or people who, wherever you are on that journey, and you want to hear a different approach to things, they can always contact us at tepiacobgyn.com or divinemercycare.org, because it is truly life-giving. In a world where you hear the most crazy news on a daily basis, you know, the op-ed piece today in the Washington Post was anti-Catholic bigotry is alive in the U.S. Senate.
I saw that.
Now, you sit here and you go, no, there's hope because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. When he says, this is my body, this is my blood, do this in remembrance of me, sacraments are real, Drew. They affect you. You eat him because you become him. You want to, as Paul says, you want to be the mind and heart of Christ. Take on his heart and mind. That's what the sacraments do. That's what intercessory prayer, when we say these rosaries, we're not mouthing a ritual here. We are walking with him in the story from beginning to beginning. And it's real. Intercessory prayer, the sacraments. These are all things, and so therefore, when I used to believe my body, my choice,
right,
it's replaced with my body given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Wow.
And that's this transformative power, that when we talk about transforming hearts through health care, that is what we're interested in. And it's not about proselytization, because Jesus does the hard stuff. We just meet people where they're at. You know, we run a really busy OBGYN practice. We're very, we're educating other younger docs and younger nurse practitioners and younger PAs who are coming to work with us, because it's both the natural family planning, it's excellent surgery, it's excellent cooperative healthcare, listening to the language of your body, but it's also seeing the underserved. So we partner with pregnancy centers. So even though we're a nonprofit, you're trying to put this into action, because the enemy wants, just like this anti-Catholic bigotry, like they did on Capitol Hill recently, when Harris and Hirono went after Buescher and said, you know, that you can't be a federal judge because you belong to the Knights of Columbus, which is an extreme organization and hate group. You know, they don't believe in reproductive rights. They don't believe in marriage equality. They don't believe in right to choose. Wait a second. Faith is meant to be lived. And actually, our job is to bring people to Christ.
Amen to that.
I will be with you, dude, just like you're doing. You're putting it into action every day on this radio station. There are people listening to you that also are doing it. And that's the body of Christ that's literally rising up as our Lord and our Lady have asked.
You know,
persevere. Yeah.
I hope there are physicians, PAs, you know, I hope those, there are nurses. I hope if you are working in this industry, I hope you will check out this website and reach out. I know, Doc, you'll be more than willing to talk to them. DivineMercyCare.org or Tepeyac Family Center, they can find that as well there. But, you know, I sit back here and I think, you know, Our Lady has a special love for you. For those who don't know what the Telma is, in 1531, the Blessed Mother appeared in Aztec Mexico, and she gave this great image to Juan Diego, future saint, and it's the only image I know of where she really came as a pregnant woman. So how ironic that she spoke to you there. There she is, pregnant, and she's telling you, hey, what are you doing? And then you still turn a blind ear or a blind eye, a deaf ear to it, and she reaches out to you at another place where she's supposedly appearing. And I know the graces flow. So, but you're a testimony to the fact that God is patient, His grace continually reaches out to us, and that it ultimately will prevail. And now you're saving lives and you're changing lives. I want to thank you for that because you're a tremendous witness.
Oh, please. You're so welcome. But, you know, Drew, it's amazing that people thank me for not murdering babies.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where we're at. And I'm telling you, there is such a richness in following our Lord, you know, allowing the Lord to be the divine physician and helping people integratively, body, soul, and spirit. That holistic approach. The world wants, you can hear them, oh, yes, I do both bioidentical and non, you know, traditional and alternative medicine. And this idea that they're desperately searching for this. And I think the more that we are graced to have the opportunity to witness the joy and the normalcy, meaning, we're family. It's mother and father, and, you know, it's your earthly family and your heavenly family. We're all family. And that's what you do for family.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Doctor,
that's what you do, buddy.
Like I said,
you're so welcome.
Thank you for your witness, really, because it's easy to be quiet about the past, you know, and kind of buried. And a lot of people do that. And yet you're out there.
No, we do, because we're ashamed of it. Yeah. Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
And yet you are, I think sometimes that public witness says to other docs and other people that are out there, hey, if he can do it, I can do the same thing. But, you know, your practice, I know you help a lot of women. DivineMercyCare.org, is that a nonprofit? Is that supported by, Providence, generosity? How's that work?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a nonprofit, Divine Mercy Care. You know, Tepeyac OBGYN is an excellent medical practice that sees the insured. So I have people in the office who are, you know, politicians and senators and judges and, you know, all sorts of interesting, you know, kind of wealthy people who have insurance. But then there's a whole section where we want to see the underserved and we want to see those less fortunate. We want to partner with it. So like when people fall out of Carhartt, the third trimester abortionist who's here locally, when women kind of come out of their scared but still have their baby inside, they often come to us because we want to open our hearts to that caring for the least.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating that the Lord has shown us a way to build a medical practice and system based on charity on the Divine Mercy Care end, because we want to inspire. We want to help others serve. We also want to unify the body of Christ, both across denominations, across NFP groups, across different liberal and conservative divisions.
Right.
And that's part of Divine Mercy, but Tepeyac OBGYN is a full medical practice where on any given day you can see both ends.
Well, that sounds great.
And the face of Christ comes in all sorts of varieties, obviously, as you know. And if you're interested, check us out. We're in Northern Virginia. We talk to people across the country probably 4 to 10 times a week.
Wow.
Whether it's patients asking for advice or, you know, people who are worried about their child going through medical training, healthcare training, and so we also have a whole, you know, we have a prayer end where we intercessory pray for those who you send, you know, who, so it's interesting.
Good stuff.
It's been a real blessing, and it's been, you know, something that I still am just kind of amazed.
Well, John, thank you for
this day. Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for doing it all. Look, the best way to get connected, divinemercycare.org. You check them out there. What was your other website? Tepeyac Family Center, OBGYN?
It's tepeyacobgyn.com.
All right, we'll check that out as well. Hey, thank you.
Buddy.
Good to talk to you, and keep
Same
doing
here,
your
bud.
Great work. We'll
you.
Remember you. God bless. That's Dr. John Burkowski. What a great conversion story he has, huh? You talk about how God reaches out. Here, Our Lady personally spoke to him. There's a man who was involved in everything from in vitro to abortions, and now he's got a nonprofit, you know, trying to unify and help and save lives. That's the power of conversion, and he's not alone. You hear that a lot. So stay with me. When I return, if I get a chance, I want to share the story about this Serbian abortion doc. It's an amazing story. If I don't get to it today, we'll tell you maybe a little bit later. I want to share some of that with you and more. Feel free to join me anytime. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
The truth is, President Donald Trump is the most pro-life president in American history. And we are grateful for your support.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
We've got to look at ourselves with the same kind of love. God wants you in his friendship. He wants you to be forgiven and to feel his love.
The Cale Clark Show, 5 Central, on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I love that. It is. Look, this is real talk. And I think the best way to talk about anything is through the eyes of our faith, right? To look at it at least through the eyes of our faith. It's good to be with you. I just enjoy hanging out with you. I really do. Thank you for allowing me to share not only my heart, but some great guests with you, and to give you that look at life that you're not going to find anywhere else. If you are new to the program, if you've been enjoying what you've heard, then tell one other person about the broadcast. It's a great way to spread the message. And, of course, maybe you've only been listening a short time. Tune in every day. I'm on the air from noon to 3 on the Pacific Coast, 2 to 5 in the Central Time Zone, 3 to 6 on the Eastern Time Zone, and a lot of other time zones around the world. We have listeners over in, you know, Europe and South Africa and all over the world to tune in. So it's great to be able to just feel united with you here today. A lot to talk about. You know, today's the great feast of St. Peter and Paul. Remember the solemnity of these two great martyrs, men who had great conversion stories, really, if you think about it. You just heard a good friend of mine share his own story. And I had been promising to share the story of Stojan Adasevich. I've shared this a couple times in the past. I tend to wait to share the story with you on the feast of St. Thomas. Maggie, help me out. I'm zoning out on the theologian. St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm a little bit under the weather today. So say a prayer for me. I was just saying to Maggie, man, I feel so tired. My head's hurting. I'm thinking, you start to get paranoid. You have a couple, it could be dehydration or a bad night's sleep, right? Or it could be a variant. You never know. So just say a prayer that I bounce back from whatever I'm feeling right now. But let me share with you, I'll do it very briefly, the story of Stojan. I think it's a fascinating story, because I think God loves us so much that he's always reaching out to us, always inviting us into a deeper relationship with him. And the greater the sinner, the greater the right that they have to God's mercy. He leaves the 99 sheep to go after the one, right? And that should comfort us. If you've got a child away from the faith, a spouse that's not there, you know, maybe you're really concerned about the eternity of somebody you love. This guy, Stojan, we talked about Dr. Levitina, we talked about Dr. Burkowski, we talked about a lot of these other doctors who killed thousands of children. This man was a serial killer, if you think about it. I mean, the amount of abortions he performed were just prolific. 48,000 abortions. He would do as many as 35 in a day. 35 in one day. You know, he told one mother one time, he said to her, he said, she's dead now, but, You know, I wonder what happened to the unwanted child. That's what he said to this mother. You know, it's you know, he was very cold. He didn't care. Stoyhan had a weird experience one night. In fact, several nights. And he barely escaped death himself when he was a young child. But I don't have time to go into all that. I'll just share that in greater detail with that a little bit later. But one night he had a dream of a man dressed in black and white. He was in a black and white habit. He didn't know who this guy was. It happened to be St. Thomas Aquinas. He knew nothing about him, right? He was in communist Serbia at the time. So he dreamed every night about, it was a reoccurring dream, of seeing a field filled with children. And the children were ages 4 to 24. And they were playing and they were laughing. They were having a good time until they saw him. And every time they saw him, they would shriek and run away in terror. This man in black and white, this doctor who he would learn later was Thomas Aquinas, would be in there as well. He didn't know anything about him. But whenever he had the dream, he'd wake up in this cold sweat in the middle of the night. And finally, one night, he said to the man in the dream, he spoke to him in his dream, "Who are you?" And the man introduced himself, "I'm Thomas. Aren't you going to ask me who these children are?" he said. So Stoyhan did. And Thomas replied, "These children you see who run in terror, they're the children you killed." "I never killed a boy 20 years old," he said. "You did 20 years ago." He would wake up that morning, you know, just shaken by this conversation, realizing the gravity, the enormity of what he did. And he vowed never to do abortions again. But he got to the office. He realized, it's just a dream, right? And he had this, he wavered on his conviction. So a cousin of his came to the hospital with his girlfriend. And he got his girlfriend pregnant. She was 4 months pregnant. And actually, this girl was coming in for a ninth abortion. I've talked about how people in Russia especially have had, you know, 9, 10 abortions, 11 abortions, 8 abortions. It's very common, right? She's coming in for her 9th abortions. You imagine the damage psychologically this girl's gone through. You know, for many people in communist, you know, and this happened in the 80s, you know, in the former USSR. You know, this is a form of birth control. Abortion was just a form of birth control. So Stoyan agreed to go ahead and do it and decided on just a different procedure than he normally did. Now, you might want to turn your radio down here just for a few seconds because what I'm going to share for you is a little grotesque. If you're squeamish, you have young children nearby, I don't want to frighten you. You know, you're not going to hear it. Give it a couple seconds and bring it back. But here's the story. He went and performed this procedure. And as he performed it, he pulled out the remains of the child. And after he got through cutting it up, chopping it up, when the heart came out, to his sheer amazement, it was still beating. He truly realized in that moment, in living color, what he was doing. And again, I don't understand this because I don't understand how people do not recognize what they're doing. I don't know how any of these educated physicians who terminate children don't know what they're doing. I find that hard to believe, but they do. A lot of women don't realize what's happening. That man gave up doing abortions, and the hospital in communist Yugoslavia, they retaliated. They cut his salary in half. They fired his daughter from her job. They didn't want his son to enter the university. And his family suffered because of his conviction to never do this again. But he kept going on with his conviction. Soon he became an outspoken advocate for truth and life. He returned to the Serbian Orthodox Church, to his faith, his childhood. He started reading Thomas Aquinas. In fact, he thinks Thomas Aquinas appeared to him in that dream in order to make up for what Thomas wrote in the Summa. You know, Thomas, you know, in the Summa, you know, raised the question as to when life began. And it was later than what we believe today. And of course, we respect Thomas. But Stoyhan was, you know, speaking out abortions in Eastern Europe. He was trying to boost Serbia's birth rate, which was a dismal 1.68. If they continued at that rate, there'd be no Serbs left in 50 years. And before Yugoslavia broke up as a country, he was able to get the movie Silent Scream put on the television there twice. And The impact that had was just off of the charts. But I have a minute left. That's fundamentally his story. He went from a prolific murderer, an abortionist who was callous and cold, to a man that God's grace reached, who pierced his heart, who used a saint who's gone before us, who used dreams, as we've seen throughout Scripture, throughout the Bibles, maybe even in your own life, to convict this man of the truth. And like today's saint that we recognize, Peter and Paul in particular, who went from hunting down Christians and putting them to death, brought around such a radical conversion. You take a look at the gospel, you take a look at the Scriptures that we have, you know, the Acts and so much more, thanks to these early apostles and what they did in the church. And you take a look at what happened to the man like this. How many lives are saved? How many children are alive today because he had that moment of saying yes to God, standing up for what was true and what was right? I've got to take a quick break. I'm out of time. Well, I'm actually out of time for the day. I'm sorry about that. I wish we could spend another hour with you. Cale Clark's coming up. Please pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. If you want more information on my trip to the Holy Land, it'd be great to travel with you. Go to relevantradio.com/Holy Land. Only a few seats remain. I'll pray for you. Till tomorrow. God bless.